I get the opportunity to share with you this morning. And let me tell you something. There's nothing like worshiping in the house of the Lord. I worship at home, watching it at home, but don't be deceived. When you're in the house here and there's other people in here, man, it is a joy. You feel the sense of the Holy Spirit knitting our hearts together through worship. So, all right, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, verse 36. Luke 7, verse 36. Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil, and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears, and wipe them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." So he said, "Teacher, say it." There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii, and the other owed 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. "Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose the one whom he forgave more." And he said to him, "You have rightly judged." Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house, and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her hair, with her tears, and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, "Who is this even who even forgives sins?" Then he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for this passage. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your kindness, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you are reachable, Lord, and that you want to show us something this morning through this act of worship. And so, Lord, I pray you bless the reading, the teaching of your word. May your Holy Spirit reach and touch every heart that listens and hears and sees. In Jesus' name, amen. Not too long ago, I went to, we were invited, Joey, myself, and Terry, we were invited to a house, a friend of ours, for dinner. And when we got to the door, they opened up the door. They greeted us with a hug, not necessarily a kiss, you know. They greeted us with a hug. They allowed me to take my shoes off, which were not smelling very well anyways, but I still took them off. And then we sat down. We ate their finest dish. We had the desserts. It was wonderful. We played games afterwards. And, you know, this time was like a time of fellowship that we had in common with one another. And the Lord was just enriching the time that we had together. But this is not the case here with Simon. Simon here in verse 36, it says that he invited Jesus to come and eat with him. You know, usually you are a little bit more courteous to people when they come to your house. But Simon, who is a Pharisee, I just want to let you know that there are two people here that encounter Jesus. One is Simon, who is a Pharisee. He's a teacher of the law. He is one who is very knowledgeable in the Old Testament. And so he would know God, and he would know things about God. And then there's another one, is a woman who is labeled a sinner. This probably refers to her as a prostitute, of kind of the woman of the night. And so Simon here, we read in verse 36 that he invited Jesus to dinner. Now, he invited Jesus to dinner probably to find out who he was or what he was about and why people were following Jesus. Why was he drawing such a big crowd? And so he thought, well, I want to find out a little bit more about Jesus. And so he's maybe thinking, man, this guy might have some motives. He's trying to draw people away after himself. But Jesus, he had something else in mind. Jesus had something else in mind. You see, Jesus wanted to expose something about Simon's heart that he was not aware of. He was going to use this woman as an object lesson for Simon. Simon thought he knew God, but Jesus, being God in the flesh, was right in front of him and he didn't recognize him. You see, the thing is that when you invite Jesus into your home, he will reveal something to you that you may not be aware of. This happens to me basically every morning when I open up the Word and I have breakfast with Jesus. I open up the Word of God, and me and a couple of guys, we get on a Zoom meeting, and we talk about the Word of God every morning at 7 o'clock. And you're invited. If you men want to join us, you can look at the men's Tuesday night Bible link. It's the same link. You can go to that. But every morning when I meet with Jesus, I just start reading the Word, and the Lord begins to speak to me. And begins to share of his word. And this one time, I was reading through Proverbs early in my Christian walk, and I was supposed to be reading chapter 15 that day. And I got up, and I'm rushing around, and I'm thinking, okay, I don't have time to meet with Jesus this morning. I'll do it later on. And so I went to work, and I got into this argument with my boss, my superintendent. And there we were, face to face, just yelling at each other. I mean, it was not a pretty sight. And here I was, a believer, and everybody knew that I was a Christian. And I kind of lost myself there. And I thought, wow, I don't know what happened. I was trying to justify my actions. The next morning came, and I woke up and thinking, okay, I'm not going to read Proverbs 16, even though it's the 16th day. I'm going to go back and read Proverbs 15. And so I read it, and it said this, Proverbs 15:1. It says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh one stirs up anger. Man, I think that's about as far as I got. And it's like the Lord revealed something to me that day that, like, hey, had you got up, had you read with me that morning, you would have known exactly what to do. And so that's what happens when I meet with Jesus. He reveals things in my heart that, man, I'm not even aware of. And so God is so good about that. And so when Simon invited Jesus into his home, Jesus had another plan in store, and that's why he accepted it. And so in verse 39, Simon saw the acts of this woman and thought to himself, he doubted that Jesus was a prophet because he thought Jesus was unable to see the woman's heart. You see, Jesus will show that he can read the heart of man by exposing Simon's heart. You see, Simon looked at what this woman was doing and was wondering why Jesus was allowing it. Why are you allowing such affection to you? Don't you know what kind of woman this is? Don't you know that this woman is a prostitute? I mean, can you imagine the awkwardness in that room? It's like us having dinner, and all of a sudden some woman comes at the feet and starts, you know, starts kissing your feet. I mean, this is totally awkward, but this woman didn't care. She didn't care about who was around. She only cared about meeting Jesus. And you know, Simon, on the other hand, he sat there and thought, what? Don't you know she's a sinner? Don't you know that she's out on the night doing things that she shouldn't be doing? And I think Jesus would be saying this. He says, listen, Simon, her sins are observable and you can see them, but yours are of the flesh and yours are of the spirit. Hers is are of the flesh, but yours are of the spirit. Hers are more observable, but yours are more subtle, but more damnable. And therefore, he didn't know. He didn't know that this woman had been forgiven. He didn't know that Jesus had showed mercy to her. Just like Jonah, sometimes I feel like Simon the Pharisee. I'm wondering why Jesus is so gracious to sinful people. You see, I'm this guy. Who doesn't like to do things wrong? I try to do things right all the time so that nobody can correct me. And I think that's the way these Pharisees are. They try to live in line, in this straight line, so nobody can reproach them. Nobody can correct them. Nobody can criticize them. And yet, you know, we kind of almost hate grace. I mean, I don't hate grace now. I love grace because I've been shown grace. But I can see someone being saying, why is he so gracious? And, you know, Jonah, the prophet, thought the same thing. He was called to go to Nineveh, and he was called to preach against that nation. It was a great nation, and they were very evil and wicked. And Jonah's like, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. I don't want to go there. And there was a reason why he didn't want to go. And so he ran and he fled from the Lord, and the Lord brought him to that place anyways. And he's there at the gates of the city. And finally he says, okay, I'll preach. And he says, yet 40 days, and Nineveh will be overthrown. And he was like, Lord, throw your punishment on them. They don't deserve grace. And yet he walked through that city. I think it was a 3 days journey. And they believed Jonah, and they believed the Lord, and they repented, and they fasted, and they put sackcloth and ashes on. And Jonah, and we pick up the story in Jonah chapter 4, verse 1. It says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. So he prayed to the Lord and said, ah, Lord, was this not what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. You see, that's God in all his glory there. He doesn't desire that any perish. No, not one. He desires, he's loving, he's abundant in loving kindness, he's gracious, he's merciful. That's who God is, and that's who Jesus is. Displaying God in all his glory there, as this woman is at his feet. But Simon would have said, Jesus, why are you allowing this woman to touch you? Why are you allowing this woman to be at your feet? You see, the Pharisees didn't allow unclean sinners to touch them because they would be considered unclean if they were to be touched by a sinner. And then they would have to go through this ritual of cleansing themselves. And therefore, you know, the Pharisees were like the first of the untouchables, right? I used to love that show. Jesus is not that way. You see, Jesus is not only a touchable, he is approachable. Jesus is approachable. You can come to Jesus anytime you want. at any place you want. You know, whether you're in your bedroom, whether you're on the job site, whether you're at your place of work, Jesus is approachable at any time. Just what Link said. He's not someone that you cannot touch. We don't have a high priest that you can't touch. You see, Jesus is our high priest, and he's very approachable, and he's very touchable. Where the Pharisee Simon was like, hey, don't let this woman touch me. Jesus is saying, hey, you can come to me. You see, there was a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years, and, you know, Jesus walked by her house. And you know, Jesus doesn't do things on accident. He does things on purpose. He comes your way so that you could recognize and you can see him. And this woman who flowed with blood, everybody, every physician came to her and nobody can help her. And she thought, you know what? If I only touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made well. And so there was a huge crowd around Jesus, and yet this woman fought through the crowd, and I believe she was on her knees trying to just touch a little bit of Jesus so that she can be healed. And sure enough, it says that she touched the hem of his garment, and Jesus stopped and said, who touched me? And the disciples were like, Lord, everybody's pressing in on you. What do you mean, who touched you? But Jesus knew. You see, Jesus knows when you're touching him. Jesus knows when you're trying to reach him and trying to come to him because there's something in your soul that is bothering you, something in your soul that is bringing you down and taking life away from you. And Jesus is saying, hey, who touched me? Jesus, he knew who touched him, but he wanted that woman to come out. He wanted that woman to come out and let everybody know that yes, you touched me and I healed you. And now you're clean. And you no longer have to hide. You no longer have to shelter in place. You can come out into the world. And so Jesus is very touchable. Simon, on the other hand, he was not the best of hostess, right? In that culture, hospitality was something that was treasured highly. You see, when you invite guests to your home, you would leave your sandals at the door. There would be a servant there with a water basin and a towel, ready to wash your feet. And as soon as they came in, they would have you pick your feet up, they would wash your feet, and then allow you to go sit down. And then after that, they would give you a kiss as though, like today's day, we give each other a hug and say, hey, man, welcome. They would give a friend a kiss on each cheek and say, hey, welcome to my home. And then lastly, they would pour oil on your head. And the oil would symbolize joy that you were to be shared tonight together, the fellowship of joy. And so Simon did none of those things. He did none of those things for Jesus. And Jesus is going to respond to that. But before we go there, my one thought was when I saw the act of the woman is, how do I get to a place where I fall in love with Jesus? How do I get to that place where I'm displaying such worship and sacrifice for the Lord? Well, let's take a look at what this woman did, and let's try to draw some things out from it. It says that this woman came, and she brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil. Now, this fragrant oil was typically worn around the woman's neck. She would carry it around, and it was like an inheritance. Usually these flasks were, you know, anywhere from a year's wages. And this thing was like her treasure. And they wore it around their neck. And so basically this was like her inheritance. And then she stood at the feet behind him weeping, and she began to wash his feet with her tears. And she wiped them with the hair of her head, and she kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. What this woman did was anoint his feet, and there she wept vigorously because of something that had changed in her heart, that she was willing to give up her former profession. She was willing to give up her treasure, the alabaster flask. She was willing to give up her pride, all to display her love for Christ. You see, the depth of your gratitude will be displayed by your acts of worship. The depth of your gratitude will display the acts of your worship. You see, she knew that she had been forgiven. She knew that she was a great sinner and that had been forgiven of much. You see, Jesus showed not only love, he showed mercy towards her. And she knew all that. You see, the thing is here is that Simon didn't think he was a great sinner. But the Bible tells us that we all are sinners, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. You see, we're all great sinners. And until we recognize that, we're never going to put ourselves in a place of worship. So the woman here, and the principle is that those who have been forgiven much, love much. This woman here, she wept, she washed, she wiped with her hair, and she worshiped the Lord. And she shows this act of worship, and in weeping, she was basically acknowledging the vast debt of her sin before a sensitive Savior. She knew the depth of her sin and how great it was, but she also knew the greatness of God's mercy that was poured upon her and that was showed to her. You see, I can only imagine the shame that was lifted from her. You see, that's why Jesus came. He wanted to remove the reproach of shame in our lives. He came to remove sin from our lives. You see, many of us, we have done shameful things. We have said shameful things. We have seen shameful things, and we have thought shameful things. And those things haunt our minds each and every day. Our conscience bears witness of the shame that we have. And see, Jesus wants to cleanse you of that. And I can imagine this woman weeping and weeping, so much water that it just poured over Jesus' feet. And it was all because she knew the love of God that she felt from him. She knew and she acknowledged before him that her sin was great and she was in need of a great Savior. And so that weeping led to washing. We see that she washed and she wiped his feet with her hair. You see, she was doing for him what he had done for her. She was doing for Jesus what Jesus had already done for her. Well, you say, well, what do you mean? Well, she was removing the dirt from his flesh. She was removing the dirt from his feet. And that's what Jesus had done for her. He had cleansed her. He had forgiven her. He had removed the shame. He removed the guilt. He removed her sin from her. And that's why she was weeping. And we can do the same thing. You know, it's like when I forgive others as I have been forgiven, we do to Jesus what he has done for us. When I'm patient with my wife or my children or my grandchildren, it's like we're doing to Jesus what he has done for us. When I forgive, when I show compassion, when I show mercy, when I show grace, all of that which Jesus has done for me, I just do it right back to him. Jesus says that if you do it to the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. And so what she was displaying was like, Jesus, you've cleansed me, you have wiped me clean, and I'm just doing what you have done to me. And so she washed and she wiped his feet. And then lastly, she worshiped. You see, the depth of your intimacy with Jesus, kissing his feet, Simon was still trying to figure out who Jesus was. He was still trying to wonder what was so good about this man and everybody following him. But this woman, she already knew that Jesus was God. She knew that he was merciful. She knew that he came to declare the Lord. Your worship is expressed through your desire to draw close to the feet of Jesus. You see, she had brought herself low before him. And the Bible says that God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. You see, we need to humble ourselves. We need to strip ourselves of our pride before we can humble ourselves before the Lord. You see, if you never acknowledge your sin before him, you'll never position yourself in a place of worship. We need to humble ourselves before the Lord. The Lord has done a great thing for us. The Lord has sacrificed himself on the cross that we can have a relationship with him. But there are many people who don't believe that they have sinned. I prayed with a gentleman one time. I started sharing the gospel with him. And I started talking about sin. And the first thing he said to me was, I don't have any sin. And, you know, I never thought it was a real thing, but people actually think they haven't sinned. Or that they sin just a little bit. You see, we're all great sinners. My wife, she was ministering to someone not too long ago. And she asked the woman if she would pray. That if she wanted to pray to receive Christ. And the woman said, yeah, I'll pray. And so soon as she got to the point where she says, Lord, forgive me for my sin. Boom. Woman said, I don't have any sin. And so people do. They think that way. They think that they do not have sin. But we're all sinners. The Bible says in 1 John 1:8, the Bible says that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and the word and his word is not in us. You see, this woman had lavished affection upon Jesus, and the Pharisee, by contrast, had given him a very cool reception, not even attending to the usual courtesies, such as washing the feet, kissing his cheek, or giving oil for his head. And why was this? The reason was the woman had the consciousness of having been forgiven much, whereas Simon did not feel he had been a great sinner at all. You see, we're all great sinners in need of a great Savior. And if you can't acknowledge that, then you're not going to be able to see God in all his glory. You're not going to be able to feel the mercy and the grace that he desires to pour out on you. You see, God wants to pour out his mercy. He wants to show you his love each and every day. And because of that, man, we're free. We're free. He ends up looking at the woman and he says, listen, woman, your sins are forgiven. And those who were there, in verse 48, he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And she had already been forgiven. She didn't display the love that she showed and the act of worship that she showed, not because to get salvation, but because of salvation. You see, she already had salvation. And this was just an act of worship of the love that she had already encountered with Jesus. You see, the woman, lastly, Jesus publicly announces that her sins are forgiven. And then he goes on to say, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. You see, her faith in Jesus resulted in the cleansing of her shame, the forgiveness of her sin, and the peace of her soul. You know, there are many doctors that will help you cope with your guilt, with your shame, and it's just a coping mechanism. But only Jesus can give you peace for your soul. Peace is something that can't be bought. Peace can only be given. It can only be given by Jesus, true peace. And Jesus wants to give you true peace today. He's calling you. It's not that he doesn't hear you or that he can't reach you. Maybe you've been calling out to him and asking for his mercy and his grace. Listen, in Isaiah 55 it says that the Lord's hand is not too short that it cannot save, and his ear not too dull that it cannot hear. But because your sin has separated you from him, he will not hear. And so the first issue we need to deal with is the sin in our life. Only Jesus can cleanse you of your sin, but when he does, man, there's peace, there's joy, there's a peace that passes all understanding. A couple weeks ago, I had a test done to check my cancer to see how it was doing. I haven't had treatment for a year and a half. And it's not that I don't worry about it, but I don't need to worry about it. I do what I can to obviously so that this cancer is removed. But the difficulty of surgery is not a good percentage. And so I've opted at this point not to do any surgery or any treatment. And I went in and got a test done. It's been about a year and a half since I've had any treatment and about a year since I've been tested. And the doctor called me up right away and he says, hey, there's still no movement. There's still no activity at the main tumor area. And the two lymph nodes that are affected, those have grown 2/10 of a centimeter, which is like 1/16 of an inch. And so I was ecstatic when I heard that. Some people might be, well, you still have cancer. Well, yeah, I still have cancer, but it's really not growing. And I know that the Lord is merciful. You see, when you have a peace that passes all understanding, nobody can take away your joy. And this woman had a peace. And the Lord told her to go in peace. Man, her shame was wiped away, her guilt, her sin, everything that brought her down was wiped away and cleansed. And Jesus wants to do that this morning for you. And if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, if you've never acknowledged your sin before him, I want to pray so that you can do that right now. And if you want to do that, I want you to bow your head with me. I want you to pray this prayer after me, acknowledging your sin before him, confessing it. Repenting means to turn away from your sin and to follow Jesus. Will you do that with me this morning? Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you that you are a great and merciful God. And I acknowledge and confess my sin before you now. I repent of my sin, Lord. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin and that you rose again and that you desire to save me. Lord, I pray that you would give me your Holy Spirit that I may live my life for you each and every day under the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, will you come in? Will you cleanse me? And will you give me eternal life? In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that this morning, the Lord says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you will be saved. For all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And this morning, if you've done that, you can go ahead and share in communion with us. We have the two things, the blood and the body of Christ. We have the bread and the juice. And I want you to go ahead and grab your items there in your house if you want to do this with us. Well, he took the bread, and on the night he was betrayed, he said, "Take this and eat it, for this is my body that was broken for you." And he broke it, and so let's take together the body of Christ. I'll wait just a little bit longer till you get your elements. And so this body Jesus placed on the cross for your behalf and for my behalf. And as a result of that, we can now have fellowship with not only God, but with one another. Sweet fellowship that encounters Jesus when we take of it. The body of Christ. And in the same fashion, he took the cup and says, this is my blood of the new covenant. Do this in remembrance of me. The blood of Christ. Well, let's go ahead and worship the Lord.
Savior, you know what a Savior.
Remember this, that Jesus is approachable. Is my mic on? Yes. That Jesus is approachable, Jesus is touchable, and Jesus is actually waiting for you to come. He wants you to come. He's calling you to come. He loves you. He wants to pour out His grace and mercy upon you. He's a good God. He's a compassionate God. You see, Jesus loves you, and He's reaching out His hand so that you can come and touch Him. And so this morning, let's not be like Simon the Pharisee. Let's be like this woman who needs Jesus. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, thank You this morning, Lord, for Your goodness and Your kindness towards us. Thank You, Lord, that we can see that through this woman's act of worship, Lord, there she wept before You, washing Your feet, Lord, and then worshiping at Your feet. And Lord, we know that when we worship at Your feet, the fragrance of the oil, the smell and the aroma that comes from it, it reaches You, Lord. And it's a sweet-smelling sacrifice that You have said that when we sacrifice and we worship at Your feet, Lord, that You take it in and You receive it. So this morning, receive what we have for You, Lord. May it be a sweet-smelling sacrifice unto You. And in Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you. You can call in for prayer. You can text in for prayer this morning. Also, 5 minutes after the service, there'll be a Zoom meeting for the children. You can do that as well. And hey, be looking forward to seeing you guys in possibly a couple of weeks and worshiping together here in the house of the Lord. There's nothing like the worship here in the house of the Lord. And so I can't wait till you guys get back. Can't wait to see you. And until then, I love you. I'll see you later. Bye.
The light before the world revolved around the sun. God on high, stepping down in the
come and see.